理课堂听 class.com。
Chapter 6 Great Expectations. One Saturday evening, when I had been worker and student to Joe for 4 years, we were sitting in the pub with other villagers, listening to Mr. Wopsle, when a stranger came and stood in front of our little group. "I'm looking for the iron worker, Joe Gargery," he said, "and his worker and student, Pip." I knew immediately that he was the gentleman I had met on the stairs when visiting Miss Havisham. However, he didn't recognize me. I could even smell the same perfume soap on his large hands. "I'd like to have a word with you two in private," he said to us. So Joe and I left the pub and walked home with him. "I'm a lawyer, and my name is Jaggers," he said when he reached the iron workshop. "Joe Gargery, I am sent by someone who suggests ending this boy's worker and studentship to you. Would you want any money to replace him?" "I'd never do anything to stand in Pip's way," said Joe, staring. "The answer to money is no." "Remember, you can't change that answer later," warned Mr. Jaggers. "Now, remember, I'm just a messenger. I don't speak for myself. But what I want to say is that this young man has great expectations." Joe and I were shocked into silence and could only look at each other. "He will be very rich when he is older. In addition, the person who is taking care of him and whom I work for wants him to leave his home and be educated as a gentleman." My dream had finally come true. Miss Havisham was going to make me rich. The lawyer continued, "There are two conditions for you to receive this offer. One, you must always use the name of Pip. Second, the name of your guardian and provider is to remain a secret until that person chooses to tell you. You must not try to discover who the person is or ask any questions to find out. Do you accept these conditions?" I could hardly whisper, "Yes." "Now, as for details, you will move to London for your study. You have been given enough money to live the life of a gentleman while there. I will provide you with all your needs while you live there. I have also suggested that you use Mr. Matthew Pocket as a teacher." When I heard the name Matthew, I remembered the name of one of Miss Havisham's relations, who did not visit her often. "You must buy some new clothes," he continued. "Shall I leave you £20? He took this out of his large purse and placed the coins onto the table. "When is it possible for you to come to London? Next Saturday?" Still feeling very confused, I agreed. Looking at Joe, I saw he was even more confused. "Well, Joe Gargery, it's not my decision to promise you anything," he said, throwing his purse from one hand to another. "But perhaps I have been told to give you a present when you lose your worker and student." Joe rested his great strong hand on my shoulder in the gentlest possible way. "Pip is free to go after his fortune and happiness. He knows that. Money can never pay me back for losing the little child who came to the iron workshop, or the best of my friends." He could not continue. Dear good Joe, how ungrateful I was, so ready to leave you. I can still see the tears on your cheeks when you said those words. At the time, I was too excited by my good luck to remember what I owed to Joe. Mr. Jaggers clearly thought Joe was making a mistake in refusing money. He looked oddly at Joe and then left the house, telling me to be at his office in London in a week's time. Joe told Biddy about our meeting with Mr. Jaggers, and she congratulated me. Both she and Joe were very quiet and sad at first, but I promised I would not forget them or the iron workshop, and would often return home to visit them. Biddy tried to explain what had happened to my sister, but the poor woman could not understand. Joe and Biddy became more cheerful talking about my future, but I began to feel quite different. Now that I was going to be a gentleman, as I had always wished, I felt miserable. I didn't know if I wanted to leave my home, my former life of happy memories. That week passed slowly. I took a last walk through the churchyard to the wetlands to see my parents' grave. I felt relieved that I needed never think about my prisoner again. I was quite sure he was dead by now. I decided to ask something special of Biddy. "Biddy," I said, "do you think you could teach Joe a bit?"
"Teach him?"
asked Biddy. "Well, I thought, since you're so good at teaching me, maybe you can do the same for Joe. I love him more than anyone else, but his education and manners could be better." Biddy opened her eyes very wide.
"Oh,"
she said.
"So his manners aren't good enough then?"
"Oh, there's no need to improve them for here, but after I receive my fortune, he'll need to meet important people and behave correctly. He'll need an education in manners."
"Maybe,"
said Biddy, looking away from me.
"He wouldn't want to meet all those important people of yours. Maybe he wouldn't want to leave his job that he does so well or the village where he's loved."
"Biddy," I said, angry at her reply, "are you jealous of my good luck? I certainly didn't expect this of you."
"Just remember that I'll always do my best for the family, and I'll always remember you, whatever you think of me,"
said poor Biddy. This interview did not please me, and I noted it strange that the news of my expectations had made me a little unhappier. Mr. Pumblechook was waiting for me at the door of his shop when I went into town to order my new clothes. "My dear friend, that is, if you allow me to call you that," he cried, grabbing both my hands and shaking them, "let me congratulate you on your great fortune. Nobody deserves it more than you." After ordering the clothes, I agreed to join him for lunch. "When I think," he said happily, "that I, by taking you to play, might have had a small part in helping you with Miss—" I stopped him before he could continue. "Remember that we must never say anything about the person who is being so generous to me." "Don't worry, my dear friend, you can trust me. Have some wine. Have some chicken. Oh, chicken," he said, addressing the meal, "I'm sure you never thought when you were running around on the farm you would be lucky enough to be lunch for one who—" May I? And he stood up to shake my hand again. Pumblechook reminded me of all the happy times he and I had spent together during my childhood. I did not remember those times as happy, at least on my part, but I began to feel Pumblechook was a good-hearted, sincere man. Later he asked my advice on a business matter. He was looking to find a young gentleman to put money into his business, and he seemed very interested in my opinion. "And may I? He stood up to shake hands with me again. "You know, I always thought to myself, one day that boy will make his fortune. He's no ordinary boy." I thought he had certainly kept his opinion very secret while I was growing up. There was one person I had to visit before going to London. I was dressed in my new clothes and went to Miss Havisham's house. Her cousin opened the gate for me again.
"Well, Pip,"
Miss Havisham said when she saw me. "Tomorrow I leave for London, Miss Havisham," I said, choosing my words carefully. "I've come to say goodbye. I've had much luck since I saw you last, and I'm so grateful for it."
"Good, good,"
she replied. She looked delightedly at her cousin, who was staring at my new clothes.
"I've heard of your good fortune from Mr. Jaggers. It seems a rich person has decided to provide for you."
"Yes, Miss Havisham." She smiled cruelly at her cousin, who was looking rather ill and uncomfortable.
"Remember, do whatever Mr. Jaggers tells you. I know you are to always keep the name of Pip. You will do this, won't you? Goodbye, Pip.
She gave me her hand and I kissed it. Then I left the old lady in her yellow bride's dress sitting in the dark candlelight, surrounded by dusty furniture. Being in such a hurry on Saturday morning, I only said a quick goodbye to my family and set out to walk the few miles into town to catch the coach to London. The mist over the wetlands was rising as I left the peaceful sleeping village, as if showing me the great unknown world I was entering. I suddenly realized all I was leaving behind, my childhood, my home, and Joe. I wished I had asked Joe to accompany me to the coach, and I could not stop crying. Throughout the journey, whenever the horses were changed, I thought with an aching heart about getting down and going back to say a proper goodbye. But the mist had already disappeared, and my new world lay ahead of me.